It's Monday, August the 10th, and you're listening to the 3 Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Blavin.
I'm Anthony.
This is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the world. Blavin's back.
I'm back.
What's up, Blavin?
Welcome back to the show, Blavin.
I am.
We look forward to hearing about your Blavin-y things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the question on everybody's mind.
All of them.
All the Blavin-y things. What does Blavin-y do on his Blavin-y time?
Not a lot.
Yes. Magic.
Sadly, TJ has gone.
Aww. Yeah.
He has left us.
For 4 weeks.
For his eternal reward.
Something like that.
Whoa.
Jafar.
Yes. He is, he'll be back next month.
Yes.
He's in the land of the stars and actors.
He's going to kickstart his Hollywood career. That kid.
Because he's in the Silicon Valley.
We're going to, like, if he's on an episode of Big Bang Theory, like, that'd be crazy.
If he's in an episode of What I Watch in the Evenings Alone.
Which is more likely what he's trying to get into.
LA is the Mecca.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For that.
My man.
Would you keep watching it, though?
I would. Like, you go, TJ.
Man, you're packing.
I don't know if I could watch it.
No, I would.
Yeah, your family. I wouldn't be able to watch it. That's for sure.
I would be like, aw.
You would watch it, but you wouldn't, like, use it for its use.
Yeah, I would.
That's fucking weird.
Oh, that's weird. I thought you like watch it to like study and be like, oh, look, TJ's in this thing. Cool, good for him. Like,
wait, talking about funny games?
Yeah.
You were talking about combos and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
You know, when a girl and a boy love each other very much.
If TJ was playing any combos, he was doing like tutorial videos, I'd watch them.
Yeah.
Tutorial videos.
That's gross.
You know, it isn't gross.
What?
Tell me.
I heard that there was a rogue nation.
Oh, God. I forgot you were doing movies. Oh, man.
There was a rogue nation.
Fine. Yeah. I have my own movie review.
Oh, yeah?
Solitary movie review.
We watched Mission Impossible 5.
I did.
Rogue Nation.
Uh-huh.
Well, me and Anthony and TJ did. Blavin, you did not watch it.
No, I didn't.
Why not? So, we're going to spoil it.
Yeah, it's all good.
I don't know how else to set this up. It's Tom Cruise doing Mission Impossible shit.
Yo, the Russians are back. No, they're not.
And it is the summer action movie you've all been waiting for.
Like actual, though?
Like actual.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It's fantastic.
Actual? You know that's mine, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this one's blue.
Yeah.
Oh, disgusting. You just sucked on his popsicle stick.
Oh, that's gross.
It's like we kissed.
That's disgusting.
All right, well, I'm going to be talking about somebody else and another magic stick later.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
So, this movie, what's the prop? This one.
So, you know how Tom Cruise is part of the IMF?
Yes.
There's a secret IMF.
Anti-IMF.
Really?
And they're tasked with just destroying the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they the Rogue Nation?
Uh-huh.
And so he's... I thought he was the Rogue Nation trying to take down IMF.
No.
He's off the books now.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's Tom Cruise, without support, taking down anti-IMF.
And proving that he doesn't actually need support to be cool.
Yes.
Does he hang out with all his past buddies?
Of course. Yeah. Eventually, like... the whole group gets disbanded, and they have to work like office jobs in the CIA.
Yeah.
But one by one, he gets them all back.
Oh my god! This is like an Ocean's movie kind of.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then they do mission they do impossible missions.
Okay.
The movie opens up with Tom Cruise hanging off the side of a jet.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually did that.
He did.
So like a lot of like I think a lot if not all of these stunts.
He did them all.
He did them all.
Yeah.
So like in that trailer when he's hanging off the side of the airplane,
yeah.
He did that.
Nice. Yeah.
There's one moment in the movie where he has to be underwater and he had to train to hold his breath for 6 minutes.
Right.
To film the
6 minutes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So Tom Cruise is still awesome.
So when he passed out, he wasn't actually passed out in that scene.
No.
He was just acting.
Not. Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no. I don't know you guys, but I've always loved Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is the best.
I like Tom Cruise as an actor. Tom Cruise as a person.
What's wrong with him as a person?
He's kind of... After that whole Oprah couch incident.
Who cares? Went off the rails. He was in love.
He loves Katie Holmes.
Off the rails.
Who cares? We all go a bit crazy every now and then.
We do. Yeah. And we should forgive those people.
Never.
It depends.
I don't forgive villains.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is still a good guy at the end of the day.
Is he though?
I think so.
Yeah. I think that other person's a good person, though.
Simon Pegg? Yeah, he's cool.
Did you know that Tom Cruise has... There's a Tom Cruise Day in Japan?
No way.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he is the biggest celebrity in America to visit Japan the most.
Oh, nice.
Is it like a national holiday?
No, it's just, it's just declared Tom Cruise Day.
Oh, he loves it there, right?
Yeah.
Weird.
That's cool. But no, it's a good movie. I mean, it's standard spy stuff. You like cool gadgets, cars, high-speed chases.
This is it?
Yeah, it's weird to review this movie because, like, it's nothing new.
No.
But yet it's still awesome. Like, everything I complain about in movies is, like, stuff not being fresh or stuff not being
an
original idea. Like, for some reason, it doesn't count with Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And they do the coolest shit, even though it's the same formula all the time.
Yeah. You know how when you watch the Fast and the Furious movies and you're like, oh, that's a cool movie? But you get the sense that these are actors who think they're starring in, like, the best movie in the world, but it's actually the dumbest movie in the world?
Yeah.
Mission Impossible is kind of like... The actors know that this isn't going to be the best movie in the world, but they make the most of it.
Yeah.
And it's great.
And there's, like, a lot of sex scenes. Like, Tom Cruise was handcuffed behind, like, and his hands were handcuffed behind the pole.
Yeah.
And so there was a whole fight scene, and they gave him the key, but his hands couldn't reach together far enough to unlock the cuffs.
Yeah.
So he had to get out of this pole. So what he did was he, like, grabbed the pole and, like, put his legs in the air like he was a...
Oh, I know what he's doing. He's
and then he kept, up, like, jumping up. Himself yeah, up yeah. using his core strength.
Yeah.
He basically did, like, air crunches.
Yeah, he did air crunches all the way up the pole. Yeah. I'm like, oh, Tom Cruise, your core strength. Unbelievable. Like,
yeah, I mean, I do that every day to get him out of bed, but I know what you guys mean.
I think it's a bit more impressive when he does it because he's, like, 53.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, man, so... there's a lot of really... Like, the motorcycle scene is probably one of my favorite chase scenes in recent memory. Like, there was a lot of cool shit going on there. Just, like, with fast-paced action, but also just, like, they keep it light in this movie.
Yes.
There's a lot of action scenes where they have comedic elements.
Right.
So, like, an example with the... Tom Cruise is riding along the highway, and a guy pulls up to him and looks to the side to shoot him. And you're like, how is Tom Cruise going to get out of this, right? And it was the simplest solution of, this dude isn't looking where he's going. I'm going to break, and he's going to run into the back of a car. And, like, you wouldn't have thought of that in this kind of, like, action movie where everything's over the top and whatever, and it makes for, like, a comedic moment. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah, it's a fun ride.
A definite summer blockbuster you should go see.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like the Rogue Nation.
It's a cool concept.
There's also this little bit of, like... Because Mission Impossible is kind of like America's James Bond.
Yeah.
And so there is a little play at the British in this one where they're like, you British people are so...
Yeah.
You're so passé. You're not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. I don't know if that was a shot at James Bond specifically, but...
No, I don't know. I don't know. Could be a shot at just a British Secret Service.
And you took personal offense, Vince?
I did. I totally did. But then it was Tom Cruise and I'm like... Nah, okay, it's fine.
I can't be mad at you.
I can't be mad at Tom Cruise. Loved it. Great.
Yeah, it was definite watch.
Yo, 5 stars.
0 jocks.
I missed this.
Blavin, do you want to regale us with your solo movie review?
Yeah, what did you watch?
So I'll start with the story, and then we'll go presentation, then sound.
Okay, but
what was it?
Tell me.
So I saw Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, the boxing movie. I actually saw it twice.
You must have loved it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's Jake Gyllenhaal as a boxer, and basically, it's no secret, but in the trailer, his wife dies, and then he's left with his daughter, and he starts taking to drinking and stuff, and it's his road back to redemption kind of thing. So it's a very standard, like, boxing movie.
Yeah.
What surprised me most about this movie is that Jake Gyllenhaal got super-duper ripped.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, like... Just a couple of months ago, he was in that Nightcrawler movie or whatever.
And he was
last
skin
year,
and bones?
Super skin and bones.
Yeah. The movie's really good.
Yeah. So, in this movie, I mean, it's pretty much, like you said, for action movies, this is the standard sports movie. You know, he does... There's the whole fall of the character, and then there's this whole rise up to, you know, being the champ again kind of thing. I was saying before I was going to talk about someone with a magic stick, and 50 Cent's in this.
Oh, wow, really? What?
Yeah, he's his manager or whatever, right?
Oh, wow.
But this is before, apparently, 50 went bankrupt, so
was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, T.I.'s right. an Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Like,
T.I.'s an Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's the...
He's the driver.
What? And apparently Tyrese was in this, too, in Southpaw, but I think he was just the first boxer that...
Because
there's no one else I could think who it would be.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, this movie's great. I liked it a lot. If you're looking for, like, a sports movie, kind of in the same vein as Warrior, it's pretty serious.
I was going to ask, is it, like, Warrior?
Yeah, it's serious.
Okay. Warrior's really good.
Yeah, so if you like stuff like that, then this is a good one. And Jake Gyllenhaal had to learn how to box for this, and it has a really, really good training montage, which is what I only go for sports movies.
Were you just playing, like, the Rocky theme in your head the whole time?
Or? No, they actually had a song done by Eminem for it. And apparently Eminem was supposed to have this role.
Oh, wow.
It was supposed to be, but I think Jake Gyllenhaal filled it in.
And Gyllenhaal's really like, look at this beard I can grow.
Yeah, because apparently this is supposed to be Eminem's vehicle back into stardom. But yeah.
Is he not? I thought Rap God was his vehicle back to stardom. Like, he was all over the radio with that song.
No, not that. Like, I mean, like, media and stuff. Wasn't he 8 Mile? Apparently this is supposed to be like some sort of...
Oh, he wants to get back into movies.
Yeah, apparently this is supposed to be a sequel to 8 Mile or something. Yeah,
oh, it's weird. Weird.
But yeah, I can't wait though. Next week, Straight Outta Compton. That's going to be a good movie.
100% down for that movie.
Yeah, because of course, I mean, it's of our lives, right?
No, it's not. It's like the opposite of my life. But I just really like that. I really like their story.
Yeah. So I didn't know that... You know that song where it goes, Cruising Down the Street in My 6'4"?
Yeah.
I didn't know that I knew that song because of a band in the 2000s who covered it, and they did it like an acoustic
version. Yeah, they did the country version.
Like Dynamite Hack or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Oh my god, that sounds so funny.
Yeah, and so it's just a bunch of like preppy white boys in the music videos, like a bunch
that's
of rich
how you
kids.
Knew that song?
Yeah, he knew it through like a joke cover.
Yeah. So I'm part of the, you know,
I knew about that because I was an angsty teen and I played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and I was like, man, let's start listening to some NWA.
I knew about that because I grew up with that shit.
I didn't.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Who, Ricky? Oh,
yeah.
Your cousin. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah. But I don't know. The music like that, is that really, did that really appeal to your young ears?
No, I had no idea.
Oh, okay. All right. So you just heard it in the background.
I constantly heard that kind of music all the time.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's okay. What it was, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not really something that is very poppy, right?
No.
No. I liked it.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But you know what I mean? It doesn't follow the conventional norms.
Yeah, like I didn't go to any other of my friends and be like, yo, check out this song.
Yeah. I hear you. But yeah, that's my review for that.
Sounds good. So Southpaw, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Good movies all around.
8 Mile.
Let's move into our picks of the week.
Do it.
Impossible Paw.
Impossible. Now we've been talking about we've been talking about a lot of stuff.
Talking about a lot of things.
A lot of consumption of media. I heard an interesting story.
Tell me.
So, the world of television, right?
Yes.
It's the dying medium.
Yeah, you're right. It's a dying medium because of services like Netflix. And any other sort of...
Crunchyroll?
Yeah, some sort of subscription model that you want to do that. Show me. And those type of things have helped with piracy. I mean, piracy's not gone, but piracy still... It's lower than it has been.
Oh, really? Oh, because it's all in there.
Yeah, because it's the model. Because
people wanted it on demand, right?
Yeah.
No, it's the ease of use factor. It's just...
Yeah, you just log in and I guess it's there.
Yeah. There is one type of media that has always been strong with piracies and stuff, or that we've always expected to be free at this point.
Oh, I get it.
Music.
Cassettes.
No.
Vinyl. Okay.
Porn.
Ooh, no.
Wait, porn's not free?
Dang it.
Porn nowadays is generally easily accessible in a free manner. Correct?
Quick search.
Those sites...
This podcast does have an explicit rating for a reason.
Listen, you can have... I know everyone has their favorite sites, but the big one's always been Pornhub.
Yeah. Is it?
Yes, that's the leader.
Xvideos.
Nope. Okay, buddy. I just said you all have your favorites, but the leader is
faves.
Is the Pornhub? Anyways, all these videos are free, and it's completely fine to watch them because they are like you're not gonna. It's not considered piracy, right? It's like YouTube. It's consumption. However, Pornhub's looking to change the game.
Oh my gosh!
They're going to implement a Netflix-style subscription service
premium.
Porn, And I don't know how I feel about this.
Isn't that already happening, though? Like, can't you already pay for premium?
You can pay for premium, but can you turn on your PlayStation 4 and click the Pornhub app and get all the premium services?
I mean, I do want to take a break from playing Deus Ex and just switch over.
Because, believe it, you work in an electronics store. You know how all those TVs come with Netflix equipped, right? Yeah. What if it was Netflix plus Pornhub equipped?
They would never advertise that.
That'd be amazing.
They would never advertise it, but what if it was
capable? It was there.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that I could just be like playing Deus Ex, then hit my home button and go to the Pornhub app and it says, you gotta close this application, and say, yes! Yes, I'm gonna close this application.
But at the same time, because it is a premium service, it's not like when you're generally searching, you're looking at all these like random 5-10 minute clips and like,
yeah.
It's a premium service with premium content on there.
That's funny. Storylines and all.
Yeah, you have scene select and everything.
Scene select.
Can I get different subs and dubs?
Maybe. I mean, you're paying for it.
Can I get director commentary on top of it?
But no, I just think it's really interesting because for the longest time in my mind, porn has always been, you're an idiot if you pay for porn, but this could change the game.
I always hear that like some of those porn sites are totally worth it if you do it.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
I hear, but I've never done it because...
Why pay for it?
Exactly. What am I, chump? I mean, this could change everything. This could change the world
as we know it. It could, like, no one thought Netflix was going to do anything when Netflix came out.
Right.
All right, the same way, like, in my mind right now, it's like, who would ever pay for pornography?
Yeah.
Do you know a lot of people still watch porn?
Yeah. Like, it's still, like, the biggest... Everyone? Like, the porn industry is still the biggest, like, in terms of movies, television,
they're always music. They're always the first with the money to adapt to new technology. So, like, the first people to use 4K stuff is porn.
What?
First people to use Blu-rays are porn.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the first to use 3D
3D porn. Porn is always the leader in... So, like, with the HD DVD Blu-ray war...
Yeah.
Everyone was like, well, what site's porn going to take? And porn took Blu-ray. And then everyone thought of that as like the nail in the coffin for HD DVD.
Jeez, Louise.
Porn's a huge industry.
Yeah, man. When you all get your virtual reality sets, you're not going to be playing video games. It's all porn.
Yeah, is it going to be the Oculus or is it going to be the whatever the Samsung thing is?
I can't believe that.
Whatever porn picks up.
The biggest browser. That's really fun.
Yeah. Portable browser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, no. So, I mean, what's Netflix? $8 a month?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you get, like, the higher-end package where you can use more than a certain amount of TVs.
Well, there you go. Pornhub, $8 a month.
Well, I hope that it's hidden on my statement fees. I don't want people to see it. I just want it to be written under like miscellaneous.
Vegan.
Or rainbows and butterflies for $8 a month.
Who's checking your statements?
Me. The shame.
The shame is there.
Well, I don't get paid for statements, so...
Yeah. I think the tellers, like, people want it because, like, if you do stuff at a bank, like... Tellers have access to all that.
Yeah, but I hope the teller's like, oh man, you subscribe too? Nice.
They won't say that. They have to sign confidentiality agreements.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah.
Lame.
But yeah, that's one of my picks. So, Regale's on another one, Blavin.
So, my pick of the week, or I actually have two.
Good.
And Anthony's.
I like this.
What?
My two picks of the week is that one, in some Sega arcades in Japan, they have a huge poster of the Love Live girls, and people put shrines in front of them and worship them before they leave.
What?
Yeah, they have people like bowing in front of them and leaving food.
So
and
wait,
stuff.
Did the fan? So okay, so the, in Club Sega's,
yeah, they set
they
up
have
the
these
poster.
Giant posters.
Yeah, the Sega put them up.
Yeah,
but they didn't put up the stuff in front of.
They
them.
Didn't put up the shrines.
No,
the people of Japan took it upon themselves.
Yeah, to worship their
to
favorite.
Worship the poster.
Yeah,
that's weird.
You love it.
No, that's insanely creepy.
And then my second pick.
Now, no, that's we gotta talk about this. What the frig?
No, you probably do that.
No, like why?
You probably,
is there a reason in this article that they explain why?
No, the people
doing
just
it,
love
or?
Their love life. You know, they Kotomi-chan needs you know.
I don't
little,
know who that is.
Yeah, exactly.
What's happening?
And they're all wearing their new outfits in the new summer movie.
Oh my god.
I'm not lying. The picture was a guy, like, bending down, like, knees
was
down.
Was it a guy, or was it multiple pictures of different people?
A guy, but every single girl in front of them had an offering.
Oh, my gosh.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean...
The downfall of that country is coming.
It's not even that, like... It's not even that uncommon, right?
Like, I mean, no, like, yeah, we just went there, and, like, Love Live was all over the place.
Right?
Enough to where, like, Vince is like, I should probably watch Love Live. And I'm like, no, actually, don't do it. And, like, but, like, some, you can just take things too far. Like,
what, you wouldn't worship your favorite, like, Big Boss or whatever? Here, I'll show you a picture, no. And you tell me if it's...
That's fucking weird. There's, also, why is your phone shaking like a motherfucker?
I don't know, but there's, like, yeah, tatami mats and everything.
That's weird.
Well, I think, would you rather have this, or would you rather have civil war in your country?
Civil war.
Really?
Probably. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Civil unrest or this?
Civil unrest over this fucking weirdness.
Nah, dog.
At least everybody's happy.
At least you can explain the civil unrest.
To who?
To other countries.
Whatever.
So my second pick of the week is something that actually made me laugh out loud.
Tell me.
So there is this guy who had this AI that he made that can search out patterns. So what he did was he put every magic card in the database and put it in there and see if this AI could make magic cards for him.
Okay.
And it did, to hilarious results.
Like, so really bad or really good?
Well, some were playable, but I'll read out to you guys some of the ones, my favorite ones.
Okay.
So this is a Peruer's Twin. It's 3 mana. It's an artifact. You can pay 1 and sacrifice a creature. If an opponent would die, you gain 4 life.
What?
If an opponent would die. Archon. It's 2 in the blue. Enchant a creature. Whenever enchanted creatures dies, sacrifice it. And the text is, and stay dead. Demonic to you, Cyclone. 1 in a white for an enchantment aura. Enchant a creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has feel.
Feel?
Like F-E-E-L.
What's feel?
I don't know.
Did they explain the keyword?
No, it doesn't.
Oh my thing, god. Right?
Okay, this is one of my favorite ones.
I hope that's a new status.
Yeah. Or black, Chanter of the Reflections, creature zombie shaman. It's a 4/4. When Chanter of the Reflection dies, destroy all creatures and blue spells and a player of his or her choice until
end of turn. Destroy a player until end of turn?
No, but it's funny because... you don't pick the thing. The card does.
Oh, so
you gotta,
okay.
You gotta ask the card. Hey, what do you want to kill? What player you want to destroy? And then my final one is called Butt Wolf.
Butt Wolf?
Like B-U-T,
okay.
Wolf.
Okay.
It's 4 and a green.
All right.
For a creature ooze. It's not even a wolf.
Okay.
And it has flash, meaning you can play it at any time.
Okay.
And it's a 3/3. And the text at the bottom says, I attack you with a 2/2, period. But wolf, !! Because if they attack you with a 2/2, you flash this in, and it's a 3/3, you block it. So that's what this thing. And, like, so many of these cards are so crazy. It's like, one of them has trample. Like, instead of trample, it says trample. And it's like, when you play this card, you may exile the top card of your library, then shuffle your library, and if your graveyard would be in your hand, pay 1 mana. Like, that would be the kind of things that he would do, right? So, like... I'm not currently following the Twitter of it. It's called Robo... it's like Robo Rosewater.
Oh, so he made a Twitter account?
Yeah, and every day he posts a new one.
That's awesome.
And it's so funny. Like, I can't handle... It's only funny if you know magic rules, but it's pretty good. So
that's hilarious.
That's my pick.
Trample. Has feel.
Has feel.
Anthony, regale us with the pick of the week.
Okay, so my pick of the week is less fun than that. So a report out of a Japanese financial newspaper called the Nikkei, they had a report on Konami and the changing face of Konami, how they're not really a video game company anymore, and how they're switching to gambling and stuff like that. And they revealed the kind of working conditions that the employees go through there.
Yes.
And it's like... borderline old, like, it's like what you would expect in, like, a slave labor factory. So
what?
Yeah, that's how I feel, at least. It's crazy.
Before you say anything, have you ever worked in a corporate setting?
I have.
Okay.
And it's never been as bad as what this sounds like.
Okay.
Well, working for Konami?
Yeah, so it starts off with security cameras in the workplace. So that's nothing bad. But the reason they have security cameras is not for security purposes, but it is only to make employees feel that they are being watched.
That's good.
And that they feel that they have to be efficient. That's and doing their job, right? So they're like, these people, like, we don't care if people are like stealing office supplies. We only care if they're doing their job. The other thing is, so say Blaven, you went out to lunch, right?
Okay.
And you came back like 5 minutes late.
Okay.
You would, over the public building PA system, you would be publicly shamed through the whole company about being late for work.
I think that's a bit more Japan and
part. It's still crazy to me, yeah. At least.
Oh, of course, because we don't have that culture. But you know how things are in Japan. You can't be late.
Yeah, and they're publicly named and insulted over the company PA system.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's pushing it.
The other one is any developers they are deemed as not useful. Okay, say they're not working to their quota. Or they've come late too many times, or they have an attitude problem, which is determined obviously by the higher ups. If they have an attitude problem, they are repositioned in the company. So it's not like you were a senior developer and you got bumped down to like junior developer. You were a senior developer and you got put into a factory line worker making patchy slot machines.
Yes.
So you're not even using your own skill set. You got put into a position with unskilled labor.
Okay.
As punishment, purely as spiteful punishment.
Huh.
The other one was some people also got repositioned like this, not for being useless, but what happened was a previous Konami employee got a job, I think it was at Bandai Namco.
Hmm.
And on their Facebook, they were like, hey, I got a job at Bandai Namco, I'm really excited for my new job. And as a friend of that person, I was a friend of you that got the job. I liked it. And I'm a Konami employee.
Mm.
They figured out that I liked they got a new job and then would demote me and send me to line working, stuff like that. And like they would find you on Facebook and then be like, you went against our company and then put you in like unskilled labor roles.
That's why I have stopped Facebook use.
That's why you stopped Facebook use. And, like, it's just really creepy. Like, it's a lot like when you hear, like, 1984 stuff of, like, the big corporations watching you, controlling your every movements and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, so the thing about this is the Nikkei article isn't saying that this is, like, a great thing to do. Like, even people in the company and Japanese people are like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? Even for, like, a shame culture.
Sure.
And there's other weird rules, like they have very limited internet access, or the division that was previously Kojima Production had literally no internet access. So if they wanted to reference stuff for their game, they would have to like go to a different building or like a public library or something to search up things and then go back to the office and just weird stuff like that.
Cool.
To control productivity. And so, yeah, the thing to note is that, like, the Japanese people aren't saying that, like, this is okay. Like, the Nikkei is like, this is kind of weird and kind of harsh that they're doing it. But
right.
It's providing some sort of profit for them. But, like, at what cost, right? But, yeah, it was just a really weird article coming out. Like, it's a really interesting read. Austin Walker of Giant Bomb reported on it. Mm-hmm. So you can find it on Giant Bomb.
He's not getting hired at Konami anytime soon.
Probably not. But, but this brought a bunch of conversations on podcasts about like data information and like on Windows 10, like if you don't do the manual install on Windows 10, like all the information sharing options are automatically set to yes,
mm-hmm.
and all your information is sent to Microsoft and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like how far are you willing to go for convenience features if it means your whole life is for public use
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. It sparked a lot of really interesting conversations. So it's a really cool article. I suggest you read it.
I'm sorry. How did the data information sharing link to the Konami work?
It was like a big loophole. It was like, because Konami got into Facebook, found doing stuff.
I got it.
Even though you're set to private somehow, like it must have like a mole on the inside.
Yeah.
And then like just stuff like that. It went down a loophole of. Workplace environment, then privacy, and then data collection, and it just started going down this rabbit hole, I guess, of conversation. But it sparked some really interesting conversation on stuff on podcasts and internet forums.
It sounds like to me, Konami just wants to get rid of its employees.
Yeah, it honestly sounds like they want to get out of the video game business, and they want to make their next Castlevania game a Apache slot machine.
So yeah, no, it's sounds like business, unfortunately.
But like, from, I don't know, I feel like that's a little too far for even business sometimes.
No, that's how you do it, because if they want to switch industries, but they want to get rid of people, they don't want to lay them off because then they have to pay severance packages or whatnot. If they can get you to leave out of your own volition, they don't have to pay that.
So shady.
I'm not saying it's morally correct. I'm just saying if you're worried about the bottom line, then you don't give a fuck about the people working there. That's just a sad effect of the world. I'm not saying we should do it.
That.
Okay. I'm saying that's how some people think. And
you of all people, though, feel like...
Well, don't get me wrong. when I do rule the world, I am running it that way. Like, make no mistake, but other people shouldn't do that.
Other people. Only me. Just
no.
Wait till I get there.
I live on double standards, so it doesn't worry.
Okay. Yeah, and then there was like some Gamescom stuff, but
I was gonna say, like, Gamescom was this past week. Is there anything there you wanted to touch on?
I really like the fact that during the Xbox conference, they mentioned that all Xbox 360 games that are free for gold will be backwards compatible with your Xbox One.
Mm.
So if you only have an Xbox One, you'll be getting double the games.
It still blows my mind that the whole backwards compatibility thing is a big selling point for people.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you
want the new systems to play the new shit?
Yeah. Like, I was talking to some of like my toy industry friends, and they're like, "Oh man, now I'm gonna get an Xbox One." I'm like, "Why?" They're like, "Because I got a 360." I'm like, "I don't get it." And like, "I can play games." I'm like, "Oh, that's why you want an Xbox One?"
So for me, like, having so I went deep into PS3. Like,
of course you did.
My library is not of normal people.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's
like.
You.
Yeah, that's me, right? That's specifically me. But, like, when they said the PS4 will not have backwards compatibility, like, it didn't really affect me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
For the Xbox, on the other hand, I never owned a 360.
Yeah.
So these are all... If I cannot play those games in some sort of a remaster or in some sort of other format that I have, this is great for me. Because they're, like, Xbox 360 games that I've always wanted to play, like the Gears of War games.
So I think yours is just a very specific situation, because I don't know why you just don't buy a 360.
I just didn't. I don't know why.
Because, like, when it comes to things like Super Nintendo, Actually, today you just said you wanted to go buy one.
I wanted to go buy one, and they're sold out, right? So,
I mean, I get it. There's some certain convenience features, but...
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't know. It's fine.
And, like, as... Like, this... It'll also sound weird as someone who has, like, 10 consoles hooked up to their TV.
Yes. Like I know space is not an issue for you.
I have no more space.
Oh, Now you have no more space.
Now I have no more space because I have filled it to the max.
Okay.
Unless I go out and buy an HDMI switcher.
Okay.
Which I should. Probably buy a switcher.
Or another TV. And another whole entertainment system.
I probably could.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Blaine, did you have any Gamescom highlights that you want to
hear? I don't know what this was.
All right. It's like the biggest game show in Europe.
Yeah. I think it's biggest in attendance, too, isn't it?
Like, it is, because it's a public show.
Yeah, it's a public show.
Public access show, maybe?
Thanks. Okay.
Yes. Walls.
They showed Scalebound.
I haven't watched the trailer yet.
It looks pretty cool. It's DMC style. See, like, do a couple attacks on the ground, juggle them in the air, do more stuff. And you have a dragon buddy.
Sounds like the evolution of Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Maybe. Like, then because you actually have a dragon?
Yes.
Okay. What else happened there? Yeah, it was Crackdown 3 happened.
I'll tell you, okay, the only game that really mattered at the show. They showed the gameplay trailer for Mirror's Edge.
That looks really cool. Did you watch it?
I did watch it, and there's a couple things. Okay, the one thing I liked is in the original Mirror's Edge, they really guided you through that game with the use of color red.
Yeah.
It seems like they've taken that out, and I like that more.
And I wonder if that's like a difficulty option. I wonder if that's like if you play above a certain level, like maybe, there is maybe, no hints.
Maybe. They still put in some color for you for guidance. But it's okay.
It also seems more open world.
No, I think it's about...
Do you think it's still like just kind of wide levels, but really you're going to the same point?
Okay. I don't think it's open world. But the one thing that really irked me was the new voice actress they picked for Faith.
Okay.
I don't like her voice.
You just don't like it?
I don't like her voice. It's not that she's a bad voice. It's just it doesn't match the character.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just... Because they made Faith really, really Asian now.
Yeah.
And her voice just sounds really, really white.
Okay. I honestly didn't notice, but then again, I am white.
Wasn't she always really Asian?
She what? No, she.
They amped it up. Like,
before the original Faith was kind of like, this is the future where everybody's sort of the same race.
Yeah, right? Everyone's like at least a quarter Chinese. So
she sort of looked Asian, but she had the Asian bob. Now she's like, I'm straight up from the mainland.
Is this supposed to be a prequel or a sequel?
It's a reboot.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I, like, in my mind, I feel that Mirror's Edge was okay, but, like, I recently looked back at a couple tweets. Like, I have this app called Time Hop, and it lets you see your social media years back, and it came across, like, Mirror's Edge tweets, and I'm like, oh, man, I really loved Mirror's Edge at the time. Like, but the thing I loved about it wasn't the story. Like, I loved just the running, like, and I loved the time trials and stuff.
Yeah. So. Makes sense. Let's see. Other small things I read upon this week. Blaine, remember Prison Break?
Yeah.
It's coming back.
I don't remember watching Prison Break.
Didn't think it'd break out of prison?
Damn it! Where's TJ when I need him?
I know, right?
TJ, yo, Prison Break's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
10 episodes. Netflix, I think.
Exclusive?
Maybe.
Same guys?
Yes.
What?
Which is weird, because if I remember correctly, like, 90% of that cast died throughout the show.
Wow.
So...
Have you ever watched Oz? The HBO prison show?
No.
I always heard that was really good.
Yeah, I've been told to watch that.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. And the last thing, salaries were revealed.
Of?
Of the cast of the Avengers.
Oh, wow.
The Marvel crew.
All right.
All right.
Tony Stark is the highest paid, Avi.
So, Robert Downey Jr. literally is Tony Stark compared to everyone else on this fucking list.
Really?
Yes. So I'm gonna start with we'll do the Chris's.
Are we gonna? You want to go lowest to highest or?
Okay, who do you think got paid the lowest? Okay, not the Avengers, not everybody. We'll just say Marvel movies in the last year.
Marvel movies.
Yes. Okay, then Ant-Man got the least.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Probably.
Paul Rudd.
Yes. I don't know how much he made, but
least. Like, I guess Mark Ruffalo wouldn't be in this then.
No.
Because he doesn't have the Hulk movie.
No.
I'm going to go with Hemsworth.
You think Hemsworth made the least?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Who made the least?
Chris Pratt, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah! I forgot that movie came out.
He would.
Oh, but then, yeah, you mentioned they revealed how they do that, is that they pay everybody nothing for the first movie.
Yeah.
And then if it gets really big, they pay everybody what they should get.
So Chris Pratt made $13 million last year.
That's it?
That's it. He just, you know who just edged him out?
Who?
Chris Evans.
What?
At 13 and a half.
Oh.
What? For Captain America?
For Winter Soldier.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Chrissy.
Because you know what? He signed that contract too early when they're like, we need you for 5 more movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Is that why he doesn't want to be in it anymore? Because he feels he got ripped off? Or?
Well, I mean, of course, some of it, they'll never say it's money, but of course.
It's like at that level, like it's sometimes, it's got to be.
It's got to be, especially when you see, when I tell you how much Iron Man makes.
Yeah, we'll eventually get there, but.
Okay, the next one, Hemsworth.
Okay.
Yeah. He makes 27.
Okay.
Wow, it's double.
That's crazy, right?
That's decent.
That's crazy. Double percent.
That's a paycheck.
Yeah.
But then we'll just jump all the way up to Robert Downey Jr.
What does Scarlett Johansson make?
They don't show it down here.
Oh, okay.
Who else is in there?
No, let me see if this thing will load. Jackie Chan's on the list.
What?
For what?
Why?
Oh, sorry, because it's the top 8 actors of the past year.
Oh, okay.
Right. And Jackie Chan's, I think, number 2 at 50 million.
Oh, wow.
Okay, fine.
Number 2 at 50?
Yeah.
Here, Robert Downey, 100 million.
No.
Is he at 9 digits?
No, he's not at 9 digits. But Robert Downey Jr., and remember, he doesn't have his own movie, and he's not making any more Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
He made 80 million.
I thought 80 million.
Wow.
80 million.
That's more than
and you wonder why they're like, we need to make a new Iron, like, we gotta write this guy out somehow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's nuts. Right?
That's amazing.
What if they can't write
He made more than all 3 Marvel Chris's combined.
That's
Chris Pratt, Chris
awesome. Yeah. Good for him.
Wow.
That's nuts.
That's a business move, and I applaud him.
He really is Tony Stark.
He signed the right contract at the right time. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. That's rough. That's crazy.
I wish I made $80 million.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to do his own, like, solo movie. He's basically just a side character in the rest of the Marvel Universe. and he's gonna get paid more than everyone else.
That's awesome.
I'm jealous.
You jelly belly?
I certainly am.
It's no $1 billion for headphones though.
No, it's not.
What's $1 billion headphones?
Dre, Dr. Dre, Apple bought Beats by Dre for $1 billion.
Wow. That's a good business
move. That's a good business move.
Yes.
That's a B.
Yes. You know who hasn't been doing business moves?
Me?
In this past week.
I don't know. I went to the bank.
Did you?
I deposited some money.
So did I. I got rid of $40 American.
Ooh.
And with our dollar,
I got left.
I got paid. $45.
No,
it was like 52.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
No. Wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
Our dollar sucks.
Uh huh.
Gross. Dollar is trash.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to our weeks.
Yo.
Yo.
Do it.
Yo. So this week, played Rocket League.
Okay, I'm gonna hop on this Rocket League train with you because I also played Rocket League.
Okay. Oh yeah. So last week after my excitement with Rocket League, I got Anthony to play Rocket League.
You must love it.
Yo, I was killer at Rocket League.
Yes, you were.
Destroyed.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes you just gotta go in reverse. You know, you just don't have the time to turn around. You just gotta hit that reverse button.
So tell me about your experience with Rocket League.
Yo, Rocket League's fun.
Yeah, I told
but,
you.
But like, it's that same thing of League of Legends where like, I just want to keep playing,
and that's okay.
And then I look at my other games on my shelf, and I'm like, I should really finish these. I bought these for a reason.
No, you didn't.
Like, I'm almost done Splatoon. Like, I should finish Splatoon.
Nah.
And, like, Rocket League just never ends.
No.
But, like, it's really fun. And, like, I can see if this gets into some sort of
competition.
A competition-esque aspect. Like, if this becomes, like, MLG, whatever, right? This would be actually very entertaining to watch.
Oh, totally.
The game perfectly sets itself up for fun teamwork strategies.
Yes.
If you get good enough, like I've learned to pretty much like pass the ball to be able to, if I hit it at a certain angle, like I can pass it over.
Sure.
It's not always 100%, like people have to jump for it, but it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And like I can see really cool plays happening. Like,
yeah,
I've seen cool plays happen just in my very first game and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's great because like I think it sets itself up for this kind of thing because it is only one map.
Yes,
and it is only really there's more than one gameplay mode, but really there's only one gameplay mode.
Of course,
which is 3-on-3.
Uh huh.
Right.
Anything else is pointless. Yes,
but it's the thing of there is one map. Like, there's different backgrounds, but the map is all the same.
It's soccer.
And it's soccer, yeah. But the thing is, the game before this, the game that Rocket League is a sequel to, they had different maps.
Did they?
It had hills, it had bumps, bridges, like...
Oh, I don't want like, that. Don't want yeah, that.
Yeah, see, like, so I really feel that sort of uniformity is the reason that Rocket League is kind of taking off like it is, because it's a smaller barrier for entry to get people in. Which is, I don't have to learn these strategies of these new maps all the time.
Yep.
And then also the fact that it's just very simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know what soccer is. Like, you've watched the World Cup at least once.
Yep.
And, like, you know what driving a car is.
It's good.
It's, like, I know these guys probably made this game because they wanted to. And, like, it was, like, a labor of love, probably. But, like, it just seems like such a smart move in retrospect, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, everything kind of combines to make this perfect, like, it's a really good game to stream or watch and stuff like that, so.
Are you going to buy the DLC?
Probably not.
No?
Like, unless I start getting way into it, like, I have been purposely making myself, like, only play, like, one or two games. Whoa, what the... I have purposely made myself only play, like, one or two games on Rocket League, but... Yeah, like, I can see myself, if I get, like, way into it, I can see myself buying the DLC.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm going to buy the DLC.
You're just there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I did tone down my playing this week, because I really wanted to finish The Witcher.
Okay.
And you did finish it.
I did! Oh my god, that game, like, psychs you out, like, 5 times, and thinks you're at the end, but you're not. Like, you're, like, 30 hours away.
What did you get that game for?
What?
What system did you get that game
for? I got it for fun.
Can
Go for entertainment purposes.
Can I borrow it?
You can't.
Oh, you sell it already?
Digital.
Oh, boo.
Because I wanted to play a day before it came out.
The digital future. See, this is the problem. I can't mooch off your library.
That's a shame, right?
Let me share play it until I finish it.
Can we do that?
I don't know.
Huh. Maybe I'll have to sign in on your PlayStation. But yeah, no, it's oh, it's great.
So, like, wow. Was the ending satisfying after, like, 2 months?
Yeah. I think it was, but I played in a way, like, because it does have branching endings and, like, different things you could do at the end.
Okay.
And I think I was pretty satisfied with my choices.
I heard there's, like, 30-something endings?
Yeah, and there's one very, very common ending that most players get on their first time.
Okay.
That deals with his love life.
Okay.
Which I didn't get because...
You don't care?
No, because I'm awesome.
Oh, okay.
That's...
Cause you're just all about the witching?
No, because I picked a lady and I stuck to it.
Oh, okay.
You know, every gamer's like, I could bang that, I'm going to do it.
You were faithful?
Yeah, and if you don't, at the end, you're kind of like, they just like, fuck you, go away. Yes.
Living the dream.
Spoken like a true villain. But no, The Witcher is great. It's my game clock says it's taken me 15 days to beat it. I'm sure it's not that long. But I would peg it at, like, 150 hours.
So that's the thing. Like, if you leave it on rest mode, does it keep the timer going?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. I should check my Batman timer.
Yeah.
Because I started using, like, the...
Finally.
Yeah, that feature.
And you're like, this is kind of awesome.
It's okay.
No, it's kind of awesome.
It's fine.
It's kind of awesome.
It's okay.
But, yeah, no. So The Witcher's great. Best game this year so far. But then I bought... Galax-Z.
Oh, I also got Galax-Z.
Oh, man.
Let's talk roguelike space shooters.
This game is tough.
It's hard. So how far have you gotten?
I am still in season 2.
Okay, yeah. Like, I just beat season 1, and I haven't started season 2 yet.
So you don't have the robot.
I do not have the robot yet.
The robot.
My ship, I just beat the white worm or whatever.
Yeah.
And my ship started glowing.
Oh.
And that's it. That's the last thing that happened.
So you're lucky then, because they put a patch out recently
okay. That
addresses the robot. Because when you first get the robot, when I played it, the transformation felt like it took forever.
Okay.
And you were just waiting there. But with the latest patch, it's almost instant now.
Oh, okay.
So you can go back and forth. But yeah, no, this game is, like, so good.
So, okay, let's just... It's a roguelike.
Sort of. Yeah.
And, like, how it works is you play through a season of an anime.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
So you have to beat all 5 episodes of a season in order to progress to the next season.
Yes, and there's 5 seasons in all.
So if you shut off or quit, like, on, like, episode 4, season 1, you have to start all the way back at episode 1.
Yeah.
And, like... That didn't really hit me until, like, I died the first time.
Oh, and you would start at the
beginning? Yeah, so what happened to me the first time I ever died
was season 1,
episode 5.
Oh, no!
Final boss battle. The worm was exploding as it was doing its death animation.
Yeah.
And one of the balls that comes out of the worm hit me.
You didn't juke?
I didn't see it coming. Oh, I was distracted by the explosion.
Oh, man.
And it killed me as the boss was dying.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no! But the thing is, you can revive at certain points. So, like, there are crash coins you can get.
Yeah.
And with these crash coins, if you die, you cash those in for money, and you can get more upgrades at the beginning to make your first run, again, easier.
Yes.
Right? But if you have 5 crash coins, you can restart.
Yes.
So when I saw that option, I was like, sick. I'm just going to restart, go through it again. No. If you restart with... Have you restarted with the crash coins?
Yeah.
So if you restart with the crash coins, you start out... Say you're on the last level of the season.
Yeah.
You start out on that last level with nothing.
Yep. You have no upgrades.
And you have to go, like, Metal Gear it deep into the level to find your previous stash.
Uh-huh.
And if you die on your corpse run, you're done.
It's done. It's goodbye.
That's crazy.
Did you die?
No, I found it. But, like, that was the most intense. Like, I was watching my noise gauge.
Yeah.
When you boost and stuff. And
yeah.
Have you gotten a hold of the strafing yet?
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
I can't get a hold of it. I don't know why.
It's because you're not good at flying Macross jets.
I'm not. It's true. But, yeah, like, this game's real good.
It is. At first, I think I liked it a lot because when I was a kid, I loved playing Asteroids.
Okay.
And the controls are very similar to that.
At the beginning, you're literally playing Asteroids.
Yeah, you are playing Asteroids. But then they give you all other options, like you can boost reverse, and you can do the strafe.
Strafe, yeah.
And you got thrust for extra speed. But it's also got that, like, upgrade element from, like, Gradius.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have, like, bullets that split and then go on fire, then bounce.
You can
then
get a multi-shot.
Yeah.
You can do the three-way multi-shot. And
yeah, no, and it's so... So much stuff happens on the screen that has the... Has, like, the best part of Macross, the endless missile spam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The missile spam is very satisfying.
It is.
Like, when you full lock onto someone and you just see... Yeah. Robotech,
yeah,
Macross style, just coming at you. Like,
I wish there were more missiles.
I'm sure it's an upgrade.
No, I mean, like, because you only get, like, what?
16?
Well, because your missiles are, yeah, limited, right?
Yeah, you get 16 missiles.
I wish the missiles were
infinite. I feel in season, at least in season one, that enemies drop enough missiles. Like, I never found myself out of missiles.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in season two, In season two, it's not the case, I found.
Okay.
It's more about being your robot.
Okay.
And... Because, you haven't fought the Raiders yet.
The Raiders? No.
The
no.
third.
I've only fought the Legion or the Imperials or whatever the bad guy, the alien bad guy race is.
So, the Raiders?
Yeah.
Can become mechs.
Oh, sick. So, like, there are mechs in season one.
Yeah.
And you just have to, like, backstrafe and whatever.
The Raiders mechs are, like, your mech, only better in every way.
What?
They're faster and larger, and their boost is faster than yours.
Oh, wow.
So, they're scary.
Can you grab them?
You can, and then they'll just slice you.
If you grab them, question. If you grab enemies from behind, can they still hit you?
No, but they can do some. I can do something to get out. I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like, if you grab them from behind, you get like some free damage until
they. And then you toss them on something.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, it's very fun. It's very hard, but I'm really enjoying it. I love the 80s retro theme.
Yeah.
It's very much Macross.
Yo, that pause menu.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. You have the captain from Battleship Yamato.
Yeah.
He's there in the game. There.
And you're on the Battleship Yamato. Like.
Yeah, pretty much. It is the Battleship Yamato. And I was like, oh, interesting. And they're traveling back to Earth.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You're the last pilot. And you have you have the shop guy who's like the moralist space pirate who just collects salvage.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping that Captain Harlock's equivalent shows up somewhere.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, like, this game, like, it's hard in the way, like, I don't want to do a direct comparison to Dark Souls,
mm-hmm.
but I feel it's a comparison everyone will understand.
Yeah.
Where it's not hard where you feel cheated, I feel at least.
Yeah.
It's hard to where I died because I decided to take on three battleships at the same time.
Yeah, that's an apt comparison.
Yeah.
I think the only difference is Dark Souls is harder to grasp in terms of its mechanics
and
its
controls. Yeah.
So this one's a feels a lot.
And you can easily do some really cool stuff in Galaxy.
Yeah, you can. You can. But you know, I hope to have it finished in the coming weeks, hopefully.
The other time I died, I went to an asteroid, and you know how there's those lava walls? I was like, oh, cool, a lava wall.
You went into it?
No, I shot at it.
Oh, no.
And then a fireball came out and killed me instantly.
Oh, my God. You don't have the lava upgrade?
No, it was a lava upgrade?
It protects you from heat.
Oh, cool. No, I didn't see that one.
So you could just swim in the lava.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Could you grab enemies into the lava?
You can.
Sick.
Yes.
See, like, yeah, there's a lot of upgrades that I've never seen yet, and, like, it's constantly bringing out new stuff and new strategies for you to play.
Yeah, definitely use the environment. That's what I'll say.
I also think it was a very good decision not to take damage when you hit walls.
Yes, I ride the walls.
Yeah, like, unless you get hit by a weapon and then hit a wall. Yeah. They mentioned at the beginning, unless you get hit by a weapons grade attack, like, you're not going to get damaged. So you can just thrust into the wall.
Yeah.
You're
good.
And I think that's, like, a really good, like, feature.
I also like the things that are not really associated with the actual gameplay. Like, I like the writing between attack and beam.
Yeah.
Like, she has some pretty dumb explanations for stuff.
Just because. Yeah. Sometimes you're just like, just do it. Like, what are you talking about?
Stop being a bitch. Yeah, no. No, I like that. No, it's a good game. I definitely recommend it. It's a good summer jam.
Man, that game's good.
And finally, I'm going to regale you all with a small cycling story time.
Again?
Very small. Very small, okay?
Go.
Some background info. You guys know I like racing games and stuff.
Yep.
I like going fast.
Uh-huh.
But my favorite thing about going fast is going around corners fast.
Is it?
Yes.
I feel like every time you tell me that you go around a corner fast, you fall.
Yeah, in racing games, the reason why I like racing fast things is to see how fast I can go around a corner.
But right? I feel in real life, every time you tell me you go around a corner fast, you fall.
And you'll and you're about to find out why.
Okay.
Because in racing games, in order to know how fast I can go around the corner, I got to go past the limit.
Okay.
I have to find that limit before I can always abuse it, right?
Okay.
And in racing games, it's easy because you do it, you crash, whatever, hit restart. Real life's a little bit different.
You get hurt.
Yes, you do. So I was going down where we live, Garth, the mountain access.
Okay.
And at one point, it gets really steep that I'm outgeared. So gravity takes over, and it doesn't matter if I'm pedaling or not anymore.
You just go.
I'm just going around 70 kilometers per hour. Okay. And at the bottom is Aberdeen, because my goal is McMaster.
All right.
Mind you, I'll say this. I was doing it at like 5:30 in the morning.
All right.
This was the other day. And I was like, okay, how fast can I take this corner? I really want to know. Like, do I need my brakes for this? Or can I just take it if I'm wide
enough? You ride the rain gutter?
So, like, initial D? No. So I look behind me. I'm like, there's no car. I was looking across the street. No cars. I'm going to see. Okay. I'm going to start out with the widest line I can take in at 70 kilometers per hour and see if I can make it.
All
right. You can't make the turn. You go out too wide, and you hit the sidewalk on the curb. And it's not one of those, like, slanted. Yeah. It's just a square.
It's just the, yeah.
Fucking flew.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I flew.
Where'd you land?
On the grass.
Okay.
In an ant's nest.
Oh!
But I didn't realize there were ants there, so I was just lying down being like...
This hurts.
Yeah, because, well, yeah, I was hurting. And I was like, I'm just going to take a breath, take a breather. Some car stopped and said, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Cool. I'm just gonna, you know.
Did that person see you crash?
Apparently he saw me crash, because apparently he was behind me.
That's hilarious.
Like, okay?
Oh yeah, it's fine. And then my water bottles were like scattered across the street. I'm like, oh, that's where they went. But then I was sitting there and I'm like, why do my thighs feel like they're on fire? And I could barely see because the sun hadn't come out yet. And there's ants crawling all over my legs.
Yeah.
And they're biting me.
I'm
just like, oh, this sucks. Yeah. But so, needless to say, my ride home was a bit fiery.
So now you're going to take it home, you're going to take that corner at 65 instead? Like,
so the goal is, one, to do it in the daytime where I have better vision.
No.
And two, yes, 65, and I'll work my way down.
Okay.
But there you go. Blavin, what's your week been like?
So, my week has been fairly interesting. I bought a new game.
Okay.
I bought a game called Etrian Odyssey Untold.
Who are
you? Fafnir Knight.
What?
You don't buy games.
I like Etrian Odyssey.
No, but like video games. You don't buy video games anymore.
And all weekend I've been trying to finish one of two games so that I could play this Etrian Odyssey game. So my choices were...
I've been there.
Deus Ex.
Yeah.
Which is a long game.
Yeah.
And Xenoblade Chronicles.
Which is a longer game.
So just keeping point, you can't finish those two games in 2 days.
No.
I don't think there's actually enough hours in the day.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't your clock on Xenoblade like 80?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just for the main story.
But the guy saw me here exclaim silently while I was watching something on Twitch.
Yeah, you fucking lost your mind just now.
Because, so, as everybody knows, the new Magic set just came out, Magic
Origins. Yeah, as everybody knows.
Everybody knows this, guys.
As everybody knows.
My mom was like, yo, Anthony, the new Magic set's out.
Anyway, there is a card in that set which I really like. It's 2 mana or 2 and a blue mana for an enchantment that whenever you draw a card, your opponent mills the top 2 cards of their deck. If they're both non-land and they share a color, they have to repeat the process.
Really?
Huh.
So somebody at the Pro Tour made a deck that was red and blue that all the card deck did was play spells that say like, oh, as an additional cost to cast this card, discard another card in your hand, draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
As additional cost to play this card, discard a land, draw 2 cards. And then there's a card called Treasure Cruise, which is 7 colorless and a blue. And you can exile up to 7 cards in your graveyard to help pay for the cost and draw 3 cards. So they just be pitching a bunch of cards and then drawing more cards while this thing's in play so that your opponent will constantly have to mill the top 2 cards of their deck.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
It is currently at a Grand Prix in San Diego. Yesterday, it finished off 9 wins, 0 losses.
Damn.
Today, it went 13 wins, 1 loss, and then an intentional loss to get to scoop into the top 8. And now it's in the finals.
Why would you want an intentional loss?
Oh, it's just because he was already locked for top eight, and one of the other pros needed the points to get in as well, so he just gave him the win. So they could. They always. Collision. I don't know how these people do it, but they figure out if they're in the top eight or not by looking at their stuff,
their points or whatever.
Yeah, or their points or whatever. But I think he was first going into the final round. Anyway, everybody said this deck was a joke, and now it's in the finals, and I've been running it all weekend in our game days, and I'm currently 4-2 with the deck. I love this deck a lot. This deck's insane.
Well, it's
so much fun. And it's good. Super annoying for your opponent because they get so mad. Because they're not losing by damage. They're not losing in the conventional way. They're losing by milling their graveyard. And there's nothing they can do about it because no one prepared for it.
That's pretty sick.
The only decks that I lost to were red decks who had just like one drop, one drop, one drop. Killing, which
turns three, you're dead.
Which kills anyone else anyway. So, you know what? Style points for me. This deck's amazing. And when I saw you guys, when you guys saw me, this guy had the mill deck or whatever. He milled his opponent to one card.
Yeah.
And his opponent has a card that says every turn, you must exile the top card of your deck and you can play it for free on your turn before you draw your... So he had one card. He had to flip it over for the enchantment and then he had no deck
to draw.
So
right.
I was like, oh my God, he killed himself.
That's cool. you gave him the gun.
Yeah.
And then he shot himself.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. This deck's amazing. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Most people have been
What format is this?
Standard.
Standard?
Okay. And I hate standard.
All right.
But now that there's a mill deck,
but I love standard.
I love playing mill. It's so funny. So, the finals is going to come up soon. Can't wait to see if it wins. Because if it wins, it'll be bad for me.
Why?
Because it'll be... Everybody will know about it, and everybody will play it. Or prepare for it. Or people could still think it's a joke and not play it at all.
Like people think it's like a one-off
thing. Yeah, a one-off thing. Okay. And I hope that's the case.
Not a lot of people play mill. Like, I don't
feel... Well, I mean, everybody wants to play mill.
Yeah.
And
really?
Yeah, I mean, it's the dirtiest way to win.
It's the most annoying deck
to fight. I have to deal 60 points of damage to you. And milling your deck doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't impact the game at the time, right? Like, I literally am doing nothing, right? Like, if I'm hitting your life, that's something, right? You actually will die at 20.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have to hit you for 60.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, this is sick. So, yeah. Good times, good times, good times. But yeah, that's me, Mario.
Thanks.
So, yeah, other than Galaxy and Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, I have a problem.
We know.
So, you remember a couple weeks
in
ago?
In more ways than one.
When I was talking about Galgun?
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. There's a friend of mine who works with me who actually said, hey, do you know what this game called Galgun?
Really?
And I was like, you're a sick man.
Why, does he have it?
Yeah, he has it.
So I bought a different game.
Oh, no.
It's called One Chambara Z2 Chaos.
I saw this in our warehouse.
So, like, I don't know how you, on one hand, can be doing this kind of shit, and then just earlier in this episode, you're like, Japan, what the fuck's wrong with you with that school
life? Yeah! Shit?
I understand it's a problem.
But you're not...
Okay. But the thing is...
Okay.
So, this game on the surface...
Oh, shut up. Don't tell me how, like, guess what? It's got these amazing game mechanics.
It does!
That rivals Devil May Cry.
No, not that far. But it's pretty cool, interesting ideas. So, like, it's just, like,
a lot of... But if you could just get past the half-naked bikini girls...
No, you can't get past the half-naked bikini girls. Okay. That is not an option.
Okay. Because
they are literally the main characters.
Okay.
So you play as four characters at the same time.
Sure.
Like, the previous story, defeat your...
When you say the same time, do you mean, like, simultaneously?
No.
Okay.
So they're in your party.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Okay.
So you always have four characters at your disposal.
So, like, that Dragon Quest Dynasty Warriors game.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, you have your party and you can switch between them at any point?
Almost.
Okay.
So, the game plays, like, I guess, yeah, more or less like a Musou game.
Okay.
You fight hordes of zombies that are taking over the Earth. And you go to different locales to beat up these zombies. There's some overarching story that's total garbage and doesn't really matter.
Thanks.
Okay, fine. You want to know?
No, not really.
All right, let's do it. So, you... there are two sets of sisters. One is a half vampire, half human, and the other are these people called the Baneful Blood.
They're werewolves.
They're not werewolves, but they have cursed blood. Okay. I forget what the reason is. So in the first game, you have to, your mom, who is the vampire lord, sends you to kill the Baneful Bloods.
Of course.
But really what it is that your mom sent you to kill these people hoping that you would all die so she could have her grand plan of taking over the world, right? Okay. Which is not what vampires do. So you do that, and then this game picks up where a new foe is revealed, also trying to do the same thing, take over the world of zombies and different like werewolves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you now have to work together with your previous enemy. And so you, the two vampiric sisters get into a situation where they have, the only way to survive is to drink the blood of the Baneful Bloods, of the cursed blood. And because they're this half vampire mix, normally it would kill them, but because they're special, it makes them stronger and they get like a superpower mode, pretty much. It's their devil trigger.
Yes.
Which somehow makes them have less clothes.
Okay.
Which is hard to believe. But how, so you have different weapons. Each character has two weapons and it changes their fighting style, but you can do different combos where you switch between characters mid combo or bring out another character that would be controlled by the AI to help you along and fight alongside you. And this allows for like really stylish combos when you're like beating on cannon fodder and stuff like that. The only thing is with these kind of games is the bosses usually aren't that fun to fight because they're just damage sponges. Like, your effects don't hit them. They just, like, they continue their punch while you're slashing them, right? And you just have to dodge. But the game, that mechanic of using your party members is really cool. The thing about this game is that it is shameless at, like, AF. Like, it is crazy shameless.
Yeah, the box art told me that.
Yeah, so you're just, like, you're just girls in bikinis wearing
how one much is wearing this a game cowboy cost?
It's full price.
What?
So, the fuck? but
you couldn't
but,
even wait for a sale. You had to get this at like
I got the banana split edition.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So first off, the banana split edition is you get like an art book or whatever and a soundtrack. But you get these two special costumes. And they are literally a banana covering your vagina and two strawberries covering your nipples.
This is why you bought it?
And that's it.
That's why you bought it?
I bought... Is your yes.
Ass covered? I was going to say, because you just tossed away the art book and shit.
Is your ass covered?
Not, no. It is no, it's full
the crotch.
Butt.
It's the crotch.
It's the crotch is the bad part. the other thing about this game that I didn't realize until I bought it is the disc art is insane. I was gonna bring it, but I forgot.
I know what it is.
So it is the main character, like, squatting, right? She's just squatting on the disc. Like, that's the disc art. It's her squatting. But the thing is, her crotch is where the hole of the disc is.
Okay.
So, like, there are people, of like, putting different things in the hole. Like, they're penetrating the girl on the disc. And it is just, like, beyond shameless. I would rather show Galgun to people than this game, but I'm having fun with it.
how did you feel when you brought this game to the register?
I felt really good because I went strictly in the morning, so no one else was there except for the cashier.
Yeah,
who thankfully was a dude.
Oh,
and so then he's
like, "Hey, bro, that's a sick choice, bro."
No, he said, "Hey," because like EB Games or GameStop, they have your Edge card and they can see what you bought previously. So he saw I bought Batman, and we just started talking about Batman. Oh. And he just completely
ignored. Yeah, because it was so awkward.
because you handed him fucking Onitsu bar, and he's like, oh, I got a fucking weirdo here.
No, I didn't hand him it. It wasn't on the shelf. I had to specifically ask for it. And they're like, oh, yeah, we only have one copy. I'm like, I'll take it.
You guys touched hands, but he gave it to you.
He's like, we had two, but I bought the other one. Small tender, are you EB Red?
I'm red, yes. You're not
gold?
I'm not a gold chump. Platinum.
And I barely buy video games.
How are you gold? Like,
I don't know.
How do you upgrade?
I don't know.
Is there like a certain amount of points?
I don't know. They said, hey, you're gold. I'm like, oh.
Okay. Like, cool. I've bought a lot of games this year, so I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe I should ask.
Mm-hmm.
I know for platinum, you have to pay for it.
Wow.
That's what I think. I think Christian had it for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. The other thing about this game is in the... So, you know, sometimes in Japanese anime or video games, they talk in Japanese because it's a Japanese thing. but sometimes they say English phrases to sound cool.
Yeah.
So you can have Japanese VO, and they do that.
Yeah.
But in the English VO, they have English voice acting, but they say Japanese phrases in the situation where they would switch to English, so they switch it. So it's just people being like, I'm gonna kick your ass. Hey, zombie B, kakate koi. And it's really butchered Japanese, just like how that's it's really cool. Butchered English. And I don't know if that's on purpose. And it's really cool.
I think at some level, it has to be on
purpose. Like, kind of self-aware. It's released by Xseed, so like if any company's gonna do it, like, it's Xseed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this game is like a secret shame, just like Galgun is. And like,
it's not secret anymore.
Not secret anymore, but like, nobody I know listens to this, so.
Yet.
Spread the word. Pay it forward.
Yeah, I'm just, it's like all on the internet. Who cares?
Man.
The interweaves.
Does your father know about this?
No.
Your father?
He still thinks he doesn't even realize that I own a PS4.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys know that Anthony's father is on Twitter?
Yeah.
Tweet!
Yeah. He talks about politics a lot.
Let's send him pictures of Anthony playing Onichanbara.
No, you can't.
The banana split edition.
Because you would have to come over.
Hmm?
And no one, you guys don't come over.
Don't worry, man.
Yet.
Don't worry.
Look, your son is buying.
I will DM him when you're playing.
DM?
Direct message.
Oh, I don't even know if he knows how to do that.
He'll get the notification.
Oh, he'll know.
He'll get it. Look at this filth.
But yeah, yo,
that's clearly been your week.
Good times.
That's clearly been it.
No, I've been playing more Time Clicker still.
Yeah, we
like
don't
I'm still
hear.
On the time
we don't
want
to hear
train.
About that.
You sure?
No, nope.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm clicking.
No, nope.
I get to like all these numbers super fast now. But there's more numbers to be got. Yeah. Other than that, can't really think of anything.
Good. That's what I like to hear.
I'm just waiting for the new Diablo patch.
Oh, okay.
Diabolo patch.
Diabolo.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. That's it then, right?
That's it.
That's our show. Anything you guys want to mention before we get on out?
Nah, dog.
Don't buy Onichanbara.
Yo, buy it.
Anthony's recommendation. Don't buy it. It's not. Yeah.
Don't buy it. Unless it's the banana split edition.
Like, honestly, that probably was the reason I bought it.
I was like...
Like, I saw it. I saw one copy of it at the Lime Ridge Mall EB because I was looking for a present. I brought our friend Prison Girls Invite Only.
Yes.
And so I saw the regular edition, right? And a while ago, I'm like, that game was fun in a campy sort of way.
Mm.
But whatever. And then I went to another EB that has like every special edition forever. And I was
Is it Dundas?
It's the Dundas EB.
Thought so.
They have everything. And so, yeah, I went there, and then they had it. I was like, oh, it's the same price. I should just get it. And I did it.
I'm gonna burn you with a stake.
I think I'll post what the disc art is and the costumes, just the ridiculousness on the Facebook group, maybe.
The ridiculousness.
It's so shameless.
Yeah, you secretly sit there loving it.
Oh, that disc art, though. It's a thing of beauty.
Okay, so next week you can look forward to Dragon Ball Resurrection of F.
Yep.
Or the NWA.
Or the NWA movie.
Or neither. Or neither, because we're watching Fantastic Four.
Whoa. I heard that's fantastically garbage.
But doesn't that make you want to see it even more?
No.
I feel like the whole internet's just trolling us.
I know.
It's probably the best.
I bet you it is the best movie in the world.
I've been hearing nothing but positive things about the Dragon Ball Z movie, and that makes me very skeptical.
I've been hearing mixed.
Okay.
I hear nothing happens.
Is that a Dragon Ball joke?
No, I hear actually nothing happens. Like, this movie's of no consequence.
None of the Dragon Ball movies are of any consequence.
Battle of Gods is.
No.
Well, they at least make new strides and new characters and new friends and stuff. Yeah.
Dragon Ball movies have no consequence, because they are not canon.
But Broly.
Again.
But Broly, though.
Broly.
No consequence. All right, cool. Thanks for listening.
Later days.
Bye-bye.